Tonight, I have 3 points to tell you why I'm preaching this message of 3 points. I want to tell you why I've turned back to the 133rd Psalm. Those of you that have been here for at least 5 or 6 years, I preached this message, I think, about 5 years ago. And I preach it tonight, and I was prompted by 3 things. I just want to tell you what those 3 things are. Number one, I want you to know I miss Bev Maxwell. I've thought about her often the past couple of weeks. This church has been a big part of my life for the past 24 years, and she was one person that was here every time the door was open. I mean, until they moved up north, it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and after they moved up north, her and Larry moved up north, it was, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and whenever they were here on Wednesday. And for those of you who didn't get to come to the funeral, I'm going to tell you a story. Those of you that were at the funeral, I beg your forgiveness that you're going to have to hear it again. But when Bev got cancer, and she called me on the phone and said, "Brother Darrell, I want you to anoint me." I had gone to church all my life, and I'd never seen anybody anointed. And I had a little black book. It's called the Pastor's Manual. And Harry, I looked in that little black book, and there was nothing in there about anointing. So I went to this little black book, and I looked up all the scriptures about anointing, and I came to this chapter of Psalms 133, where it says, "Like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments." Here was somebody that was anointed, and I figured this was how God wanted it to be done. So I told her, when she asked me, I said, "I've never done it before, I've never seen it done, but I'll come over and do it the way I think the Bible says to do it." And so she had invited a small group of friends in, and we had prayer. And then I took a whole quart of olive oil and poured it over her head and anointed her. And it ran down her hair, her cheeks, to the skirts of her garments. And she told me later it took a week to get all the olive oil out of her hair. And so as I've been thinking about her, I've been thinking about this Psalm 133. Friday morning, we clean the church on Friday morning, and we have a good group of guys and Lois that comes and cleans the church on Friday morning. I think there were 9 or 10 of us here all together this past Friday, and whenever we have that many, it only takes us just less than an hour. And so we got done about a little bit before 10, and then since we were done a little bit early, Terry had his trailer with him, so we went out and picked up the brush that resulted from the tree being cut down. Brother Clint has a burn pile over in the back of his property, and he was kind enough to tell us, "Hey, just bring that brush over there and throw it on the back." And so we loaded up the first trailer, and Wesley and I took that first trailer over there and unloaded it, and then we came back and reloaded it, and Terry and I took the second trailer over there, and we unloaded it into the pile, and we came back. Leonard and Larry were sitting on the stump out there. Now, this is what Terry said. Your pastor, of course, would never say something like this, but Terry says, as we pulled up, he said, "Look at those two hillbillies sitting on the stump solving the problems of the world." And I thought to myself, "Oh, brother, that's like the kittle calling the pot black, if I've ever heard it." But it's a wonderful thing to have unity, a wonderful thing. Just like this verse says, how good and how pleasant it is. Well, after we got done cleaning the church, I had to leave before they took the third load over because I had an appointment at 11:30. 11:30 on Friday, I went back to the place that I worked. It's the first time I've been back since I retired. It'll be 3 years in October, but I used to have this one lady that on my birthday, she would make cream puffs, and then we'd cut them in half. We'd have a little party in my office. She'd bring the cream puffs, and there were 9 or 10 of us that would get together, and she'd cut them open. We'd put ice cream and then we put chocolate syrup all over them and celebrate my birthday. So I was eating lunch with a friend from work a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, I haven't had any cream puffs since you retired. I said, you know, I haven't either. I'm going to call Kay and see what I can do. And so I called her up and said, you know, I haven't had any cream puffs since I retired. She said, well, when can you come in? I said, well, when can you have them? She said, when can you come in? I said, how about Friday? So I said, she said, okay. So Friday I went in, and we had cream puffs and ice cream and chocolate syrup. And the rest of the people left. Again, they were the same 8 or 10 people, but we were cleaning up. And she says, how's your church going? She was always, as we'd worked together for a long, long time, and she always kept up with how the church was going. She says, how's the church going? I said, oh, man, we got terrible problems. She said, really? I said, yeah. We got no place to park. We got no place to set. We're going to have to expand the parking lot. We're going to have to expand the auditorium. We just got terrible, terrible problems. And then I said to her, how's your church going? And she says, well, Daryl, we got real problems. She says, the deacons got to fussing with one another. The pastor got in the middle of it, and now they're all mad at him, and the people are choosing up sides as to which sides they're going to be on. I said, what are they fussing about? And she said, a songbook. A songbook. And I said, that's sad, Kay. That's so sad. And we had prayer together before I left. But I was reminded by those things of this psalm and how it says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so tonight, I just want to remind us all of how good and how pleasant it is. And what a wonderful thing that God has given us in this place, the unity that we have. And I know some of you say, you mean, preacher, you're up there saying that we got no problems, we got no disagreements, we got no fusses. No, I'm not saying that. Anytime you have people, regardless how much they love each other, you're going to have some of that. But I'm praising God tonight for the unity that he has given us. And I want to remind you how good and how pleasant it is. And I want to do that like this psalm does when it says, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. So I want you to take your Bibles, if you still, and turn back to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. I want us to look at that ointment or that oil that psalm is talking about. The oil that was used to anoint Aaron as the high priest. The oil that was used to set him apart to perform the job or the function, the task that God picked him to do. And I want to make 3 points tonight. I'm going to make the points about the oil, but then I'm going to make them about the unity that we enjoy in this place. So point number 1, this ointment or this oil was concocted by God. In Exodus chapter 30, look at verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil, a hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy anointment, an anointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil. And so in those verses, God gives Moses the recipe for this oil, the oil that we use to anoint Aaron. It says 500 shekels of pure myrrh, 250 shekels of sweet cinnamon, 250 shekels of sweet calamus, 500 shekels of cassia, a hin of olive oil. And he says, after the art of the apothecary, or the perfumer, make the oil of holy ointment. And so I'll just tell you, this oil that was used to anoint Aaron was not something that Moses dreamed up on his own. It was not something that they came across by accident. It was not something they came across as a result of trial and error. It was a formula devised by God, given to Moses. He says, "Here," he said, "here's the instructions. Here's how to put it together. And it's to be a holy oil." I would submit to you tonight that the unity of the brethren, the unity that a church should enjoy, is concocted by God in the same way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible talks of gifts of the Spirit, how the Holy Spirit gives to different people different gifts. And Paul uses the human body as an example. And he says, "For the body is not one member, but many. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. But God hath tempered the body together, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Just like God gave Moses the formula for this anointing oil, it is God that has brought this body together and has given it the unity that we enjoy, the unity that is a blessing to us. Again, I did not pick this body. We do not have a board that picks this body. God picks this body. When people come to me and they talk about wanting to join the church, here's what I always tell them. If God wants you to be here, you need to be here. You're not going to be happy anyplace else. But if God doesn't want you to be here, then go somewhere else, because you're not going to be happy here. If God doesn't want you here, don't come here. But if he wants you here, come, because you're not going to be happy any place else if he wants you here. And so God, just like he gave Moses the formula for that oil, he has brought us together as a body, and he has tempered the body together. Now, metal is tempered or made stronger with heat. In fact, when two pieces of metal are joined together in a process called welding, they do that with some stuff they put on the metal, but it's put together with heat, with going through the fire, with going through the furnace. And that's what God does to a church body. He brings us together, and then he tempers us together by putting us through the heat, by putting us through shared heartaches, by putting us through shared trials, by putting us through shared problems. And as we go through that heat together, he forms a bond so that there is no schism in the body. Now, if your body has a schism, you know it. I mean, if there's something wrong in your body, you know it. I don't know if it was the cream puffs or the fact that I ate at White Castle twice this week, but when I went home after eating those cream puffs, I felt terrible. In fact, I went to bed at 12:30, and I didn't wake up till 8 o'clock Saturday morning. And I made many visits to the throne room during those hours. In fact, I was telling Gail and Lorraine a minute ago, in 2 days, I lost 9 pounds. I mean, I haven't eaten. I ate half of a chicken sandwich for lunch today, and that was the first thing I've eaten since those cream puffs. And some of you were very complimentary of my message this morning, I was just hanging on, hoping I wasn't going to pass out. And so I told you, it wasn't me. It's never me, but I know for sure it wasn't me this morning. It had to be the Holy Spirit. And so when there's a schism in your body, you know it. And when there's a schism in the church body, you know it. We all know it. We all know it's not right. We want to say like Abraham did to Lot, let there be no strife between us. We be brethren. And God even tells us how to keep unity when he says, members have the same care one for another. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one be honored, we are all honored. And that unity is like the oil that was used to anoint Aaron in that it was formulated, put together by God. By God. Now there's a second comparison. Look at, if you still have your Bibles open, to Exodus chapter 30, look at verse 26. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Not only did God give him the formula for the oil, he told Aaron, or he told Moses, how to use it. He says, I want you to use it to sanctify, to consecrate, to dedicate the tabernacle. All the furniture, the Ark of the Covenant, the altar of incense, the candlesticks. And then I want you to use it to dedicate and consecrate Aaron and his sons. I want you to use this oil for a specific purpose. I want you to use it to accomplish my purpose. And in the same way, God will use unity of the brethren to accomplish his purpose. What's his purpose? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. There's a lot of other things that God gives us as Christians, but his main purpose is to see people saved. His main purpose is to see people get ready for heaven. His main purpose is for sinners to see their sin and to know that there's a penalty for that sin. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says there's a wage for that sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gospel says, the good news of the Bible says, that God loved us so much that even when we were sinners, he sent Christ to die in our place. And if we'd ask him, he'd save us. That's God's purpose. I mean, if you're here tonight, you know the reason you say, well, I'm just here. It's a coincidence I'm here. I mean, I'm just here by accident. No, you're not. If you're here tonight, it's because God wanted you here. He's got a purpose for you being here. And if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, his purpose for you being here tonight is to get saved. His purpose for you being here tonight is to join the family of God, go to heaven. That's his purpose for you being here tonight. And if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I beg you to consider the claims of Christ. I beg you to consider the fact that you are a sinner under the condemnation of God, and the only hope that you have to get out from under that condemnation is to come to Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And God will use unity among the brethren to accomplish his purpose, just like he used the oil to accomplish his purpose to dedicate the tabernacle, all the furniture, and Aaron and his sons. And it's only, listen to this, it's only when the church body has unity that God can use it. It's only when we have unity that God can use us to bring others to Jesus. You go back to Acts chapter 2. You read about the church in Jerusalem. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, And all that believed were together. And they continued daily with one accord, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I ask new people as they go out, when they visit for the first time, I always try to say this. I always try to say, I hope you felt welcomed. I hope you felt welcome. I mean, I want them to feel the Spirit of God. I want them to hear from God. But I always tell them, I hope you felt welcomed. And without exception, they always say, I felt more welcomed here than I have in any church in a long, long time. And that's the unity of the brethren. The unity of the brethren. And then, number three, there was no other oil like it. Exodus chapter 30, verse 31. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. What God was telling Moses is, I don't want anybody else to make oil just like this. You can make it to accomplish this purpose, you know, to anoint the priests that follow Aaron and his son and his son and his son. But I don't want anybody else making it to use for any other purpose. I don't want you to pour it, I don't want you to use it for any other purpose than the ones I've spelled out here. If anybody else does that, he's going to be cut off from his people. In other words, he's going to be disowned. God says, I'm going to cut him off. I'm going to cut him off from being part of the family. Because I don't want any other oil like this made. I don't want it used for any other purpose. There's to be no oil like this oil. And I submit to you tonight, there's nothing in the world like being a part of a church family that enjoys unity. Nothing in the world like it. You know, it's wonderful to be part of a loving family. And I consider I have a loving family. I only see one of my, I get to see my mom and dad once a month, for the most part. I get to see one of my brothers six or seven times a year. I get to see the other one once a year. I have cousins, I don't even know where they live. But it's good to be part of a family. It's good to be part of a club. Good to be part of an organization that shares similar interests. It's great to have acquaintances at work, or be part of a bowling league, or be part of some other organization where you can go and have fun and enjoy similar interests with people. But none of those compare. None of those compare to being part of a church family that enjoys unity. For the most part, you don't call somebody from your club when you have to go into the hospital. For the most part, you don't call somebody from the bowling league to have prayer with when you have a problem. The people that mourn with you, yeah, people from the bowling league and from your clubs may come and mourn with you, but they don't mourn with you like your church family mourns with you. And when you have victory, when God answers prayer, and you make it through surgery, or you beat the cancer, or God resolves a family situation in such a way that you know it could only be Him, couldn't be anything else, you don't usually rejoice with your club or bowling league You rejoice with your church family. When one of us hurts, we all hurt. When one of us weeps, we all weep. When one of us rejoices, we all rejoice. And I submit to you tonight, there is nothing that compares to being part of a church family that enjoys this unity. Like the psalm says, how good and how pleasant it is. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not part of a family like this, I invite you to become a part of it. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you can't become part of the family until you get saved. The Bible says in 1 John 1:12, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Like we talked about this morning, it's not anything that we have to do. It's not of works, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so tonight, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I first of all invite you to become part of God's family. I invite you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and become one of his children. Become part of the family of God. And if you're saved and you're not a member of this church and you feel the Lord is leading you to join, then I invite you to join. Tell you the same thing I tell everybody. If he doesn't want you here, I don't want you here. But if he wants you here, you ain't going to be happy anyplace else. So you might as well just come and join. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. I pray you'll speak to our hearts. I pray if there is somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that they would see their sin, they would see the penalty that's associated with that sin, and they would come to Jesus tonight. I pray in just a second when we stand to sing an invitation song that they just walk down the aisle, and I'll have somebody take the Bible and from the Bible show them how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Most of us are Christians here tonight. Father, I pray you'd help us to realize what we have, the goodness and the blessedness that we have in the unity that you've given us. Father, help us to understand that you'll continue to use us as long as we continue to do our part to maintain it and preserve it. And so I pray you'll help us to do that. Speak to our hearts. Again, Father, if there is somebody here tonight that you're leading to join the church, I pray that they go ahead and do it. And we'll give you all the glory and all the praise for whatever's done. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.